So why don't we have steady faith that actually we are, that Krishna cares for us, that we are present in Krishna's scheme of things. There is often a misunderstanding about expectations. When we want to appreciate Krishna's love for us, we have to understand the language of love. So for example, if say I am in a foreign land, say I go to South America where people speak Spanish, I don't know Spanish, and then somebody starts pointing something, they're running towards me, they seem to have raised their fist and they're about to attack me, and then I get alarmed, I try to defend, and they're very big person, so how can I defend? I just duck, and then I find that person was shouting at me and they didn't attack me, there was a thief behind me. They're warning me about the thief and they're attacking the thief. So I couldn't understand that because I did not know their language. So actually they were expressing their care for me, but I thought they're threatening me. So what happens is that if we don't understand the language, we cannot understand the care also. So when it comes to Krishna, we often expect, we feel, how do we know that Krishna cares for us? We basically have certain expectations, we pray to Krishna for certain things, and if those things are fulfilled, then you think, yeah, Krishna cares for me. If those prayers are not fulfilled, you think Krishna doesn't care for me. So that sometimes our prayers not being fulfilled may make us feel that Krishna doesn't care for me. But you have to understand that in this material world, actually Krishna cares. This material world itself is a place of finite things. So the very nature, the very finitude of the material world implies that not all desires of everyone can be fulfilled. There's one devotee whose child was chanting and he stopped chanting, Indian devotee. And then they took his spiritual master. And he asked, why did you stop chanting? He asked him, so he said, you know, there was an India-Pakistan cricket match. And I prayed to Krishna that India should win. But Pakistan won. So I decided to stop chanting. So then the spiritual master said, just like you were praying to Krishna that India should win, there's a boy like you in Pakistan who was praying Pakistan should win. Said he prayed more than you. So the point is that if we expect that whatever material arrangements should be made, and the making of those material arrangements, we see that alone as a sign of Krishna's love for us, then our faith in Krishna will always be insecure. Because at the material level, sometimes things will work out, sometimes things will not work out. That is just the nature of the material world. So philosophically, we understand that there is Krishna's, there is God's omnipotence and there is God's omniscience. When we pray to Krishna that, Krishna, please do this for me. Now we are accepting that Krishna is much more powerful than us. I can't do this, but Krishna can do this for me. So we are forming a relationship with Krishna, but the terms of that relationship are, Krishna, it is your power and my intelligence. Now I have this problem and I want this problem to be solved, and this is the way to solve the problem. I can't do it, so you do it for me. So when we approach Krishna with this mood, my intelligence and your power, actually we are half trusting Krishna. We are trusting Krishna's strength but not his intelligence. Not only is he stronger than us, he is wiser than us. He knows better than us what is best for us. So if we trust him fully, yes Krishna, I don't know why this is happening, but please give me the strength to serve you. Prabhupada asked, what is the best prayer that we can offer to Krishna? Prabhupada said this, please Krishna, give me the strength to serve you, no matter whatever happens. So when we have this mood, we'll find that Krishna has some plan for us. See, there is a basic difference in which about how we look at our life and how Krishna looks at our life. See, we look at the present and we plan for the future. Krishna looks at the future and plans for the present. That means, to give a simple example, say if a child has pain and the child goes to the doctor and expects that my pain should be relieved. And the doctor gives injection. My pain has increased. What did the doctor do actually? No, but the doctor is seeing the future. You know, there's a disease and this disease will actually aggravate. So the doctor is seeing the future and planning the present. I give this injection, future pain will decrease. So if we just understand that Krishna's intelligence is greater than mine, then we will not be so insecure when things seem to go wrong in our life. And even if we need certain things, it's not that Krishna will not provide them. See what happens? There are desires and there are needs. So sometimes Krishna does fulfill our desire, fulfill what we need, but we expect it to be done in a particular way. So suppose a child goes to a child is hungry and goes to a orchard, and there's apple tree over there. Child shakes the apple tree and prays, "Oh God, please let this apple fall. I'm hungry." And the apple shakes, and no apple falls. Says, "What is this? The apple is not falling." But in the near neighborhood, there's a mango tree. And without any shaking, the mango falls over there. If the child is fixated on the apple, the child will think, "Oh, I did not get it." The child thinks, "You know, actually I'm hungry, I need some food. And this mango is also food." So then the mango will fulfill the need. So like that, you know, when we feel that we need something in our life, and we expect that need to be fulfilled in a particular way. So faith at one level is certainty, but another level, faith is also openness to possibility. That means faith is certainty in the sense that if I pray to Krishna, Krishna will bring out good in my life. But how that will be? Krishna will fulfill the underlying need. But if we have a preconception, this is what Krishna should be doing for me. If he's not doing this, what is the use? No, faith also means openness to possibility. Okay, I have this need, but how is it fulfilled? I am thinking it should be fulfilled in this way, but maybe it is going to be fulfilled in some other way. So that openness to possibility comes when we have the service attitude. Krishna, I am your servant. Whatever happens, I want to serve you. Please guide me. How can I serve you? So with that mood, if we move onwards, then we'll find that Krishna will bring about, even if bad things happen in our life, but Krishna will bring out good through the bad also. So at our level, how do we experience Krishna's love, Krishna's presence? That is, first of all, we have to have philosophical knowledge. When a small baby is born, the baby doesn't even understand that actually there's somebody called, somebody is my mother and she loves me. For the baby, she's just crying, and then the baby's mouth is placed near the mother's breast. And the baby was thinking, "Oh, there is some nice object, and from this some nice object is coming." And suckling it. As the baby starts growing, then the baby starts recognizing, "Oh, this is not just some source of some nice object. There's actually a person over here. And the person loves me." And then gradually then the baby starts understanding that this is my mother. And mother cares for me. Now suppose it's a very cold night. And at that time, the baby is shivering. The mother says that the baby is shivering, and the mother comes and puts a blanket on the baby. A nice comforter. And the baby stops shivering. So now the baby's eyes are closed and the baby is not woken up, literally speaking. And in that sense, the baby may not even notice. The baby is not consciously opened the eyes and seen that, "Oh, my mother has come and mother put the comforter over here." But just the feeling, "Oh, I was cold earlier and now I'm feeling soothed. I'm feeling cozy, I'm feeling warm." That means even with the closed eyes, the baby infers, the mother must have come. She must have put a blanket over here. So similarly, for us right now, our eyes are closed. And we can't see Krishna. So even if Krishna is right next to us, Sarvasya Chaham Hridisannivishto, he's right next to us in our own hearts, but we can't perceive him. So in this situation, when we try to remember Krishna, we may be trembling and suffering because of the distresses of material existence. But if we just strive to remember him, we chant his holy names, we try to hear his katha, we take his darshan, we hear his kirtan, we try to do some seva, and we become absorbed in him. In that absorption itself, there will be relief. even if the problem remains, still that absorption will lift us up. The problem is there, but the problem won't trouble us so much, because our consciousness is comforted by Krishna's remembrance. And for us, wherever we are in the world, whatever be the predicament we are in, we can actually experience relief if we just turn our consciousness towards Krishna. If we absorb our consciousness in Him, then we experience the relief. From that relief, the devotee infers, although I am not seeing Krishna, Krishna is here. And Krishna is offering me shelter. So therefore, the whole process of Krishna consciousness, no, it's not just a set of rituals, I chant the Maha Mantra, or I come and hear some classes. It's, all that is important, but the purpose of it all is to make our consciousness attached to Krishna. Mai asakta manaha. So all the devotional activities that we do, if they become the practice by which we make our consciousness attached to Krishna, then no matter what difficulty we face in our life, actually our consciousness will become attached to Him. And amid those difficulties also we will be able to experience relief. And that relief that we experience amid difficulty, that will be actually the greatest conviction for us that Krishna is for real, and the relief that Krishna offers is for real. You know, in the past, in a similar situation I was in, I would have crumbled, I would not have been able to bear it at all. But now the same problem is coming, but I am able to go on with my life. I am able to face it. How is that happened? Because Krishna is giving me shelter. So, in this way, if we have proper philosophical understanding, then we will be able to always feel Krishna's presence. The very absorption that we get in remembrance of Krishna, the taste that we get in the remembrance of Krishna, that itself is Krishna's reciprocation for us at our level of consciousness. And gradually, By appreciating Krishna's reciprocation at this level, by learning to serve Krishna, by staying fixed in the practice of bhakti, our eyes will open. You see, the baby's eyes open and the baby sees the mother next to her. Like that, as our spiritual eyes open, then we see that Krishna is always there with us. Till then, we regularly need to hear scripture and see through the eyes of spiritual knowledge, through Shastra Chakshu, Krishna's presence and Krishna's benevolence in our life. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Gaura Premanande.